Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
It's time. The world will not stop spinning. The clock won't stop ticking. Days won't stop slipping by. It's time. Things won't suddenly get easier. The difficulty does not remove itself. The path does not narrow. It's time. That perfect moment, it doesn't exist. A flawless beginning is fiction. The stars will never align for you. It's time. Not tomorrow. Not someday down the road. But this very second. See, you don't need all the answers. You don't need to know or be sure or be armed with guarantees. Your job, your only requirement is to begin. It's time. To trade fear for opportunity, someday for right now, it's time. To stop thinking small, stop seeing what you want as a reach, to stop looking at success as a stranger, it's time. To sit down and convince yourself that what you want can be accomplished. When it's as real as the space in front of you. When it's as probable as the completion of a single step, it will happen because it has to. It's time. At some point, you have to see that you're not simply playing conservatively. You're not being a perfectionist. It's not about being okay with where you are. No, if we're going to get anywhere, let's be truthful. Let's call it what it is. These things, these ideas, these excuses are a derivative of fear. The problem with possibility is that it's incredibly hard to quantify. Technically, if you've never had it, you've never lost it. And that is how we rationalize staying where we are. That's why we compartmentalize the things we want most as dreams. But for a second, let's be bigger. Let's start from the premise that what life can provide or become is limitless. It is truly infinite. And when you sit on an idea or you refuse to begin, you are in fact losing. Every single thing around you, everything. At one point, it began. At one point, someone summoned the courage to reach out and take what's in front of them. Maybe you do the same. Maybe you take that step. Maybe the first few times go terribly wrong. Maybe it's terrifying. Maybe you find out who has your back, who your real friends are, and maybe those truths scare you. But guess what? Guess what those steps turn into? Confidence. Amplified purpose, and most importantly, more steps. You get to see right in front of you as your demons diminish, evaporate. The higher you climb, the better the view, the longer the road, the greater the experience. I would rather fall 1,000 times and continuously get back up stronger than be someone who looks at the world through a window like it's some fairy tale. Because at the end of the day, sure, they have no scratches, scrapes, or bruises, but I have no limits, and I'd make that trade any day. It is time to stop separating what you want from what you have and take that step forward. It's time to go get it. No one is stopping you. Nothing is stopping you. And in fact, if you choose to be, you are unstoppable. So take a look in the mirror, lace up your shoes, open the door, and begin. It's time. There's a saying that will always be true. It will be true on your best days and your worst. It will be true after victory, and it will be true after defeat. It will be true when you have momentum, and it'll be true when you're down on your luck, doing everything in your power to create momentum. That saying is, your future begins now. Hey, on the surface, might not seem like much. Sure, my future starts now. I know that. Everyone knows that. Well, if that's true, if everyone does, in fact, know that, why do we spend so much time stuck, reliving our past, unable to break free? Why do we remain terrified to change? Why do we feel such a connection to who we were, how others saw us? Why must we remain loyal to the character we've been playing in our mental autobiographies? See, here's the thing about the past and the future. One is fixed, can't be changed, and the other, well, it's waiting for you to tell it what it is. One is expired time, one is plans to be determined. And it's interesting how we continue to conflate the two. Epictetus has said that the more things we value outside of our control, the less control we have. Well, I'm going to be the messenger here, relaying the precious truth that yesterday is, in fact, out of our control. What can be controlled is where we go from here, the next step. Meaning today is not your failures, it's where you take those lessons. It's not your mistakes, but it's what the stronger you can now endure because of them. It's not the dreams you let slip away, but where your pursuit might take you now. And yeah, yesterday certainly contributes to your outlook, as all information does. Its value considered, its impact assessed. It guides you, but it's not you. And that difference is astronomical. There's a question about the role the past plays in our lives. It has to mean something, right? Your past is, in many ways, your story. It's why you think the way you do. It's contributed to your understanding of the world. It will always be a part of you, and I believe that. But I also believe the past is a story. And just like reading one chapter in a book simply sets the stage for the next one without controlling its direction, so does every day that has led you up to now. Life gives us the tools to experience, to grow, learn, and then shed that which does not coincide with what's important. Your failures are not you. But they are precious in that they push you towards what you'd like to be. See, you can experience something and not be that thing. As Kierkegaard says, if you label me, you negate me. If you proclaim me to be X, you're essentially stealing from me the infinite possibility that is the future. Yesterday has nothing to do with what I can become. And so taking it a step further, never mind being labeled by someone else, how could you label yourself and see it as anything but self-sabotage? See, you're never defined by your past, but always learning from it. It's not who you are. It's the cheat codes for what you can be. Without that winding road of misfortune and mistakes, the incredible expansion we long for doesn't materialize. Imagine if everyone who ever felt down in life, felt like a loser, who temporarily lost hope, imagine if they looked in the mirror and said, okay, this is who I am now. There would be no triumph in the world. Because anything meaningful requires the resiliency to map our way from the hell that was our darkest moments to what will become our proudest moments. Destiny. Destiny, destiny means that you separate the finite from the infinite. What you used to call yourself has prepared you to move towards the horizon. But what you used to call yourself is also as irrelevant now as those seconds that you watch tick away. Seconds that maybe you're not proud of. Seconds that perhaps taught you about the world. Seconds that gave you a glimpse of what's possible, unveiled the happiest of times, all of it. In its own unique way, it brought value, but none of it is your future. Why? Because back to that beautiful, all-powerful sentence, your future begins now. Your destiny is awaiting its marching orders, and all you have to decide as you stand today is where that ship will sail. I was recently reading a book called The Boys in the Boat about nine American rowers from Washington that won gold in the 1936 Olympics. And there's this incredible exchange at one point in the book between the main character, Joe, who's part of that historic boat, and a man named George Pocock, who was not only a brilliant rowing mind that helped the team out, but he also had his own business crafting and making the boats, or rowing shells, as they were called, and he would make them and send them to schools all over the country. And so Joe's deal is that he's this natural talent, right? Strong kid, tough as nails, but just seems to lose his composure from time to time, right? When he's in the boat, there are these moments of jaw-dropping excellence, unprecedented speed across the water. And then there are moments when he loses his focus and the boat sort of follows suit, right? They're inconsistent. And so George Pocock, being the rowing expert that he is, made a commitment to see if he could help Joe figure that out, right? The mental game. So he calls Joe into his shop and he starts showing him how he puts together these highly coveted boats, showing him the tools and the pieces and how it's nothing short of an art. He has sort of this divine respect for his craft. And at one point he pulls out a cedar plank that he'll be using to make one of the boats. And he points to the growth rings in the wood, mentioning that they tell the story of the tree's 2,000-year life. And so here's a quick quote from the exchange. He says, "Their thickness and thinness spoke of hard years of bitter struggle, intermittent with rich years of sudden growth. The different colors spoke of various soils and minerals that the tree's roots had encountered, some harsh and stunting, some rich and nourishing. Flaws and irregularities told how the tree endured fires and lightning strikes, wind storms and infestations, and yet continued to grow." Almost as if there was something sacred about it. The wood taught us about survival, about overcoming difficulty, about prevailing over adversity, but it also taught us something about the underlying reason for surviving in the first place. Something about infinite beauty, underlying grace, about things larger and greater than ourselves. about the reasons we are all here. I paused after reading that and thought for a minute or two, what is it about those rowers crossing the finish line after giving everything they have that touches us so deeply? What is it about a cedar tree standing the test of time, those 2,000 years of adversity only to triumphantly pierce the sky when all is said and done? It moves us because it tells us what we already know, yet forget. In our hearts believe, but often fail to see. That we are greater than the sum of our parts. Ernest Becker, when he was touching on the aspect of the human predicament, he famously noted that we are simultaneously worms and gods, earthly and divine. And I think it's in those moments, the crossing of finish lines, the times we did more than we ever thought possible, or looked back and smiled about all we overcame. It's in these times we're able to transcend the mundane, the everyday. We're able to remind ourselves that, sure, some aspects of us are merely human, but no aspects are ordinary. The greatest power one can witness is that of the human spirit, bending but never breaking, making light of the odds and an example of the predictable. So know that whether now is difficult or not, it's part of your journey, a defining chapter in the incredible story of your life. And if you find yourself up, cherish that. It's more precious than gold. If you find yourself down, remember that you'll look back on this growth ring of your life and be grateful that it gave you that which smooth sailing never could. Because at the end of the day, all you have is what's in front of you, the next move, the next step, and the faith that all these little pieces will someday mean something, that standing the test of time will speak for itself. At your finish line, whatever that may be, it will. You'll look back and see that without your knowing or awareness, they propelled you into the current moment. They gave life to something beyond the realm of worms and dirt, beyond the realm of humans operating in their day-to-day world. No, they allowed you for a moment in time to touch the infinite, if only to prove to yourself that you could.